Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Vincent Battles, a longtime community organizer, educator, making a difference, connecting and celebrating families from Fort Worth to Dallas. Vincent, how you been and how you going then?
I am doing great. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I've been meaning to get you on the show for a while now, and I'm so glad I had the opportunity because you've been doing things in Dallas and Fort Worth for a long, long time. In fact, let's start your story in Fort Worth, where you grew up, because there's some things about Fort Worth I think a lot of people would find absolutely fascinating.
Yes, I am a long time. I was reared, you know, people use that word reared. I was reared in Fort Worth, Texas. I was educated in Fort Worth, Texas. I went to high school in Fort Worth, Texas. I have long roots in terms of my family. Have very deep roots. That is in Fort Worth, Texas. I am that, you know, many people know the name Battles. That goes far back to my great grandfather, who was Gus Battles. Gus Battles owned a contractor, a cement contract business, which is called Battles and Sons. Mm-hmm. He was also a minister, and I can keep on and going, you know, going there, but not just a minister, but minister in the Church and God of Christ, Koji, we call it. Mm-hmm. And not just that, he also had sons that were ministers that were part of the superintendent. So my roots in Fort Worth are very deep, that is.
That is fantastic. And again, you were telling me some stories a while back about, like, the bricks in downtown Fort Worth or some of the sidewalks.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Because people love the history and what things they may not have even known.
You know, I, like I said, my family, you know, relatively well known, especially in the religious sector, you know, in terms of church and things like that. But it wasn't until many years, I guess I was in the middle, I was actually in the middle school. I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking now, goes back in time. So actually, I was in the sophomore, mm-hmm. sophomore year. So it was that summer. And I decided to work at a funeral home. The funeral home was the name at the time, Pinkston Funeral Home. And the reason why I wanted to work at that funeral home is because it looked like it was rich. Oh, my goodness. They had the limousines and everything.
Yeah.
Big time.
They celebrated the life and the death. Yes.
It sounds dumb, but, you know, you have to go back in life in terms of someone who's coming out of, you know, freshman high school and going to the sophomore opportunity. So I'm thinking, I got to get a summer job. So working at Pinkston Funeral Home was a great opportunity for me just to kind of find myself, if you will. But I say that to kind of put in perspective. Pinkston Funeral Home was a well-known, you know, some people use a phrase back then, silk stocking community. Mm-hmm. So Pinkston Funeral Home was located in Fort Worth, and, you know, they were big time. They had another location to Dallas on Haskell. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, big time. But anyway, Pinkston Funeral Home was on Terrell Street. Terrell Street was an area where you had doctors and lawyers and, you know, Bill McDonald, the wealthiest Black at the time who owned a bank. Mm-hmm. But I say all this to say that I was walking, and I noticed this in the concrete. It would say Battles and Sons. Well, no one really told me that my family owned a construction company. And so when I went to tell, you know, ask my dad about it, oh yeah, Benson, you know, that, you know, your grandfather owned that. You know, I used to work in the summertime, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I said, well, what happened to the business? Well, I went to the Army, and, you know, various sons went off, and we just kind of, you know, the business dwindled, mm-hmm, if you will, mm-hmm. like so many businesses and, you know, that people back in the day owned. And for whatever reason, the children say, no, that's not what I want to do for my life. I want to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But that's my story, you know, about that. And the funeral home and stuff like that.
And again, like you said, you look around, you see some of those concrete bricks and blocks, and they'll say battles and stuff.
They're all over the place. You know, you've got Evans Avenue there, you know, bricks on, you know, it was stamped into the concrete.
Yeah, so a legacy, man.
You can see that in different parts of Fort Worth. You can see it in north side of Fort Worth. And these are the stores that I learned more after starting asking questions. And I'm that precarious child person who's going to ask questions. I mean, I've been told that I will ask questions, and you know, I wanted to know. So Evans Avenue, that's a permanent area, special back in the day, mm-hmm. for black communities. Mm-hmm. Evans Avenue, Turrell Avenue, also another neighborhood in Fort Worth, it's called Rolling Hills. And Rolling Hills,
oh yeah,
that's where, you know, the big people live. You know, mm-hmm. they had big money, you know, at least that time. I thought they had big money. Matter of fact, I have a cousin who lives on, I believe, Rolling Hills Drive, so she can see the view of downtown. But the point is, I went to another cousin's house, you know, no big deal. And I just noticed, once again, Battles and Sons were stamped in the driveway. And so then I was talking to a cousin not long ago, and she said, Vincent, her granddaddy, which is my great grandfather, had, you know, he put stamps, he installed, he, you know, poured concrete throughout many parts of Fort Worth. And people say, this is what I was told, that if Battles and Sons put your concrete, installed your concrete, it would still be there. Unfortunately, it's not there. And the reason why it's not there today, and, you know, I would say difficult to find, is, you know, because of gentrification, because of modernization, mm-hmm. if you will. So many of those roads, many of those sidewalks and, you know, easements and things like that, for whatever reason, have been demolished. So that's a sad thing in terms of, you know, our history has been erased, you know, for good, bad, and different.
Oh, I totally understand. You say it's part of growth. It's like when cities, whether it's gentrification or whether it's just pure growth, because the streets need to be widened, or new buildings came along, and they say, okay, we got to take down this sidewalk right here because, you know, we're going to add on to this building. Those things happen. But again, you can truly say that your family has something to do with the foundation and some of the legacy of Fort Worth itself. And Fort Worth is such a great community. And we love to talk to people about Fort Worth in particular here on Better Living. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, you're always an educator as well as a community organizer. And again, you've got deep roots in Fort Worth. Can you talk about when you decided to become more involved with different nonprofits? Was this before the service or when you came out of the Air Force?
I would say after serving. Mm-hmm. I did serve in the United States Air Force. And so,
and thank you for your service, by the way.
Not a problem. I would say it happened many years ago when I take it back. My great grandmother said, Vincent, you're always volunteering and you're going to get enough of volunteering. I remember her saying that. And I was a kid. I mean, mm-hmm. my great grandmother died in the early 80s. So you can all imagine I'm over 50 plus. Mm-hmm. I'll just say mm-hmm. AARB has been sending me invites for many years. But anyway, mm-hmm. but I would say it started maybe late 2000 officially. And I became a member of the Tarrant County Black Historical Society.
Right. See, this is where we're going. I was trying to get you there because you told me, you know, you're kind of like a historian, or you like those things and genealogy.
I
told you my father is the same way. He's our family historian. And so that kind of struck a nerve with you. So I want you to tell that story, how you started getting into that, because people always want to know their family tree, their history, their part of town or the state they're in.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier that, I was that kid. I was that child that would always ask questions. And so I remember in the late 80s, maybe earlier before that, I remember asking my aunt, my grandmother's oldest sister, so my great aunt, I asked him one time, I said, "Where are you from? Like, who are your parents?" And she said, "Well, you know, I actually thought my aunt was my grandmother's mother." And she said, "No, I'm her sister." And I say that because it was such a huge age difference. Mm-hmm. My Aunt Frances had children who are about the age of my grandmother. So mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. tell why I thought, you know, this young kid thought that was the mother. So she said, no, that's my sister. And my parents came from Louisiana. I said, "Where?" "A place called Utility." I said, "Utility? Like a utility pole?" And she said, "Yes." And she started me on the quest of more, I would say, of really trying to learn the history of my family. So much so that I would say myself and a few other cousins really know our family. And I may get a few things wrong here and there, but for the most part, I do know the family. I know from the standpoint that I just told you about my Aunt Frances. Her parents, actually her grandparents, were married in 1868. We have documentation. We have the marriage license. So they were married, and the names were George Bell and also Adeline Sullivan. That was a maiden name. Now, that's a whole nother story at another time. But the point is, they married in 1868, and they had children. They had about five children. Of those five children, my grandfather, Elisha Bell, had 11 children that survived, I'll put it that way. And my grandmother was the youngest of those children. So
The age gap, explains that.
And so my grandmother, she transitioned early this year in March. And actually she was 97 years old. So that's the time and breadth we're talking about. So my grandmother's parents, Elisha Bell and Queen Esther Gaffney Bell, had 11 children. And I'm getting somewhere with this. I talk about children, I talk about the family. And so of those 11 children, they went different places. You've got the Great Migration. They were very much part of the Great Migration. Although my grandmother's siblings were born in Texas, a place called Acworth, Texas, they, moved different places. And some of the places they went to were Detroit, Michigan, California, places like that. So two of the children stayed in Fort Worth. And, eventually my family moved from Acworth and moved to Fort Worth, Texas. Again, going back to Fort Worth, my roots back in Fort Worth. So my grandmother, the youngest child, and her sister, the eldest child, for the most part. I said the most part because there was a brother who was the oldest. And so my grandmother's sister was the eldest daughter. They lived in Fort Worth. And you've got all these other siblings who moved other places. So my grandmother's father said, "I need you all to start having family reunions." It's invariably one sibling will come and visit Texas, but he's saying, "I need all of my children to come together and have, just bond." And mm-hmm. unity was my great grandfather's, Elisha Bell. That was his biggest thing. He died long before I was born, but I know my grandmother tells these stories. And so in 1952, give or take, was our first family reunion. And I will tell you more about that. But we started the first family reunion in Fort Worth, Texas, in a place off of Rosedale and I think Verbena. Mm-hmm. The street is still there, of course, but not the house. So the house has been long gone, and we've been having family reunions since then. The family reunions, although they started in Fort Worth and have kind of come back to Texas, they've gone to California, Los Angeles, that is. They've gone to Detroit, Michigan. We've traveled to St. Louis, another place, Wichita, Kansas, Atlanta, Georgia, Tacoma, Washington, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Clarksville, Texas, near the place where my grandmother and her siblings were born, and Houston. And I say that because it's really paramount to say that my great-grandfather, that thing he wanted, which to make sure that we all stay together, that we stay connected, that we know of our lineage, that was very critical for him. So not just him, you know, but he also encouraged his siblings and their children. So we're talking about large family reunions where, you know, you probably, you're probably thinking, what are those food? I mean, what does it look like? Well, it started, you know, like a big cookout. That's what it started like.
Mm-hmm. And then look, so many people are relating to what you're saying, because I know that a lot of people have family reunions on each side of the family, and it's usually every mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years, and then everybody shows up. And nowadays, they book the hotel room so that, because everybody can't stay at everybody's house like they used to. You know what I mean?
No.
But it's always several hundred people, and then everybody's wearing the T-shirts, right? All the matching T-shirts. That's when you know. Yes. And then you got to come up with the itinerary for that town or that, mm-hmm. that city, what everybody's going to get a chance to do. And you retell some of the stories. And again, that goes back to what you're talking about, celebrating family, celebrating and making connections. And speaking mm-hmm. of those, again, let me reintroduce yourself. This is Vincent Battles, longtime community organizer, educator, and he's always been involved with all these different nonprofits. And mm-hmm. let's just catch up to right now. You got out of the service, like you said, and your mom and your grandma were always saying, "Hey, you're always doing. You're gonna get tired of giving back, but you never have stopped giving back. You've been a part of so many nonprofits and doing so many different things. And I have to ask the question, since you're talking about some history Fort Worth, have you had the chance over the years to meet the grandmother of Juneteenth, Miss Opal Lee?
Oh, absolutely.
I was about to say, I bet you have.
You know, again, being a part of, when I say a part of, I was actually the vice president of Tarrant County Black Historical and Genealogical Society, a long word. Mm-hmm. And so part of that group, and I'm going to miss the name, but part of the lady, there was, I can't remember her name now, but anyway, not just Opal Lee, but there was another lady who was very instrumental in making sure that we preserved the history of Fort Worth. And really that preserved the history of Black history. That was critical. Mm-hmm. And so because of that organization, Miss Opal Lee was very much involved, you know. So she, Rolla, that was the lady's name, Miss Rolla. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Miss Rolla, I want to make sure I give her credit. So Miss Rolla was very instrumental in making sure that Black people knew about the history and that we preserved the history of Fort Worth. So Miss Opal Lee was very much part of that preservation, part of that history, really archiving and really trying to celebrate history. So I know her. You know, I don't know if she'd say, "Oh, I know Beth Spence right now," but when she see you,
I bet you she just lights up.
You know, it's funny you say it, because when she did the walk in Fort Worth last year, I think it was last year, I was actually on the front line, you know. It just happened, you know. I also had my fraternity shirt on too. So, you know, it was really unique to say, "Oh, Vincent, I saw you," for friends who were, you know, way up in D.C. or something like that. But yeah, I have had a chance to connect, interact, meet, and I really understand why she's passionate about Juneteenth, because I was part of really trying to preserve and celebrate and honor, if you will, Black history, the contributions people have made in the Tarrant County area.
And let me tell you something. It's been an amazing journey. The journey continues. Vincent, like right now, what are some of the different nonprofit organizations that you're readily involved in and that you think need to get some flowers right now?
I would say right now is the one that I'm really involved that takes up a lot of my time at two. My fraternity, that's one, and we'll kind of come back to that later. But I'd say the one that I'm heavily involved is Together We Dine.
Yes.
Together We
Dine. Project Unity. Mm-hmm.
Project Unity, yes. And Project Unity has multiple pillars and how we celebrate. And so my pastor, who happens to be Richard Butler, who's also the founder of Project Unity.
A very good actually, man. He's our friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. He says there are several things that we can do to bring us together as opposed to what divides us. And he says it clearly, and I hear it very well. Food brings us together. Music, you know, together we sing. Food is together we dine. Sports, together we ball. Mm-hmm. And together we vaccinate. Together we learn. There are so many different things, so many pillars that fall under the Together We. And so the reason why I'm specifically involved in Together We Dine, it really helps me understand the conversations that people are having regarding race relations, regarding the differences that we experience, regardless if those experiences are held in the office, corporate office, because you have a different generational differences. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people who represent different stages of the generation coming together, and there's some friction sometimes. You also have, some groups, they have what we call, the word is abilities. So, some people look at abilities differently. People look at race differently. People look at sexual identification differently. So we try to say within Project Unity, whatever we do, regardless of around sports, if it's food, let's come together to really understand those things that we have in common and somewhat diffuse the misinterpretation or misinformation. Last night, I participate in a dine. And when I say participate, I want to make sure I'm clear. I am a facilitator. Mm-hmm. I'm a table facilitator. And there's a training that comes with it. But my job is really facilitate the conversations and making sure that people are participating and make sure that some of these conversations we're having can be very personal, can be very strong, and why you believe what you believe. And last night we talked about immigration. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to talk about it today right now, but it became in my table, while it was still respectful, you can tell how people were, stuck in their deep beliefs about it. Either you're right or you're wrong, they do this or they do this. So I really had to.
Was this a little bit more unusual than some of the other ones? In other words, were they would like double down in their thoughts?
I would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think immigration was a little bit more intense because we have a political season right now.
Oh, yeah. That's part of it.
At my table, we had a politician, House of Representatives. So you can only imagine how that was going. Yeah. And then you've got a person who lived in Detroit. She lived in Michigan where she grew up at a time where, it was very homogeneous mm-hmm. to some degree. And then, start bringing different people who are not from Detroit, who are not born in the United States. Mm-hmm. So she had a strong opinion about that. And so the House representative was trying to say, because of this, you need workers and the idea that one group has taken jobs from another group. So I had to manage the conversation, but at the same time, make sure everyone was heard, but also respected.
Mm-hmm. So it turned out to be a fruitful endeavor, even though, like you said, it kind of got a little heated, a little passionate at different points.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's one of
that's part of the process.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I'm involved in this one in particular, because I can really seek an understanding, if you will, mm-hmm. of people and why they feel that way. Because I will sit down at the table and And we all have our biases. That's a fact. That's mm-hmm. a fact. And I'm not going to shy away from that. But I will look at a person who sits down at the table, not trying to judge, but I'm like, when I hear their story, I'm like, I would have never thought that.
Right.
I would not. So it's helped me as well.
Very
so
good.
So volunteering, you know, many times I've even volunteered for the U.S. Open. Many times it's a way to get in the door. It's a way to get access
mm-hmm.
when I'm, you know, ordinarily may not have the funds or something like that, may not know the right people. But if I volunteer, that opens other doors. So that's a workaround.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you mentioned this volunteering part because you are everywhere. It seems like you're just about everywhere. Can you mention who you think is one of the most interesting, I'm not going to say the most famous, but the most interesting person that you've met over the last few years, not just through Project Unity, but just all the different nonprofit things that you do, because you wind up, what do they call it? Networking. And you wind up running into interesting people.
I am a huge networker. And, you know, I can get some shout outs to people. I can think about my pastor, Reggie Butler, mm-hmm. who is so connected in the in the city and abroad. And when I say connected, he's still humble.
Yes.
And it's just amazing how this man sits in different spaces, show up in different spaces, and seem to be the same person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that I recently got connected with is Foster Williams. Foster Williams is the supreme networker. And when I talk about supreme, I mean it from standpoint, this is a man who helps job seekers. And he does not care who you are, where you live. He is doing it, and he does it from his heart. He does not charge. And when I say he has large groups that he, you know, that he supports that have sprung forth because of what he is and who he is. And you've got the South Lake job focus group, and you've got the Frisco Connect, and you've got, he is what's called the job father.
That's the job father. I like that.
Yeah, he is the job father. And, you know, and my goodness. So he is accessible. He is humble. He is a person who is going to try to help others without cost. And he's helped thousands. I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
Helped thousands get jobs, jobs that I heard just today someone landed a job where they're senior director. So we're talking about major roles as well as roles that may be entry-level. So,
I mean, it's so amazing. It's amazing.
Unity and also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say to you, it's amazing how many people you meet, and just the fact that you're volunteering, the fact that you're empathetic, the fact that you're a people person. And there's so many people who are moving to North Texas, to Dallas-Fort Worth. And because you have a history here, I'm sure they want to talk to you about certain things as well. Either learn things around here or get to meet new people. And have you found that has made your life a difference in your life?
In terms of networking and meeting people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has made a difference in my life because, you know, it is so odd. You know, I have met so many people, and I'm thinking I'm just a little person. You know, I'm just a volunteer, but I've had a chance to connect with people, CEOs of different corporations, large mm-hmm. corporations, like mm-hmm. Fortune 50 corporations.
Right.
And, you know, my grandmother used to say, how is it that you will meet? No, she doesn't say that. Or she didn't say that. She said, if anybody's going to be someone, it's going to be Vincent. I remember going to the U.S., the presidential inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've got to get there. I just have to be there. And so, and that was the first term. And I went there, you know, I saw people, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. And I remember NPR coming through where I was standing and other people, you know, talking, you know, why are you here? And I just remember saying, I just have to be here. So I flew to DC, of course. And so when I came back from DC, I was at my desk. I worked at American Airlines at the time. I came back to my desk, and that was the next day. People are calling me, voice messages, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And they said, oh, Vincent, we saw you. I'm like, they folks ain't seen me. They don't know what they're talking about. I kid you not. And so I came to my desk, and my desk had, you know, ribbon streams and everything, red, white, and blue. I'm like, what is going on? And so my coworker said, you have no clue what's going on. I said, I don't. Vincent, you were on the news. You were on television. You were on the internet.
They interviewed you.
I said, for what? I'm like, for what? They said, because you went to the inauguration and you were featured.
Yeah.
Getty magazine, Getty images. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Worldwide.
So, yeah. So the second time I got better. The second time I'm like, I'm going to get a seat this time. And I walked the halls of Senate. I walked the halls of House of Representatives, ran into Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell's office. That's another story. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I got tickets.
The movers and the shakers, yeah.
Tickets. There you go. So, yeah, I mean, but I'm not the one to brag by no means, you know, but I see a lot of people.
And yes, you do. And it's all about, like you said, it's all about connecting. It's all about giving back. And it's all about being yourself, because guess what? You wind up networking, you wind up being influential, and you affect people's lives. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you to be on this show, because quietly, just you being yourself have affected lives here in North Texas and made a big difference.
And I wondered, what was it about me, Chris, that you said, I got to get that man? I'm like, what the heck?
I just noticed you at all these different events. And again, I just said, wait a minute, you're at everything. And you're, like I said, you're always like volunteering. You're always not just like showing up and stuff.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're actually working. You're actually doing things.
Working. That's correct.
It was like you're part of the different groups' foundation. I was like, this man is everywhere. I got to find out a little bit more. And again, that's what this show is all about. So I can't thank you enough. Hey, Vincent, thank you again for joining us on the show. That's Vincent Battles. Do I say you're from Fort Worth, or do I say you're from Dallas? Or should I say Dallas, Fort Worth?
You say I'm a Texas native.
That'll work. Thanks again, Vincent.
Thank you.
And joining us right now is the executive director of A Steady Hand, the Reverend Donald Parrish. He's got a program talking about It Takes a Man, a seminar about guidance for young boys. Hey, Don, how you been, man? Long time no talk to.
Yes, sir, Chris. How you doing, man? It's so great to be on with a three-time Hall of Famer, man. I mean, how many people can say that they know a three-time Hall of Famer? So I'm honored that you have us again.
You know, I got to deflect. I appreciate the accolades. But let's go ahead and talk about A Steady Hand. You guys have been doing things for a couple of years now. In fact, getting the nationwide attention. You got the esports program going for the kids as well. But you got this seminar. Yes, I want to talk about the seminar first, and then we'll talk about the background of A Steady Hand and the esports component, because I think that's very exciting. Let's talk about the seminar first. It Takes a Man.
Yes, sir. It Takes a Man, Volume 1, The Checkup is what we're calling it. It Takes a Man, Volume 1, The Checkup. It will be just brought by A Steady Hand, a group called TFWI Dallas, Volunteering While Black, Carter's House. Dollar General has come on as a sponsor. And they're going to be interviewing young men on the spot for jobs for the summer and throughout the school year, and a host of other people and community partners coming together to pull this off. So we are very excited about this opportunity. The concept is very simple. In the morning before it gets too hot, we're going to have the boys doing some basic vehicle maintenance, knowing how to put air in a tire, what type of tire the car needs.
Changing the tire. Go ahead and say changing the tire, because I kid you not, I've asked this question on the radio. There are guys across the spectrum in their 20s don't know how or never have changed a tire in their life. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's basic when I was growing up.
listen, and don't know the difference between windshield wiper fluid and radiator fluid,
well,
brake fluid.
Yep.
And so the goal is to teach some of these manly things that young men need to know. Because let's face it, the majority of our young men, the first two or three cars they buy are going to be what we used to call hoopties.
Exactly.
Right? And mm-hmm. so they're going to need to know how to do some basic repair work on the side of the road somewhere, maybe stuck on 45 somewhere, right?
Yep, yep.
And they can get the car going at least to get it to safety. And so that's the first part of the day. We're hopeful to have those job interviews taking place as well. We've got some fun stuff for the boys as well. There's going to be some go-kart racing and all that kind of stuff. Happening there at the same time. So the boys will be rotating through those stations. Come in during lunch. You mentioned I'm a gamer, so we're going to have Madden there. We're going to be playing Madden and 2K and how the boys doing that during lunch period. And then the second part of the checkup is the mental health component, because the suicide rate amongst our young men, especially our young men, our young black men, is up 76%.
Wow.
To where it was before COVID. And so our young people are struggling dealing with mental health. And so we're going to have some mental health workshops. It's very fun, very loose, very creative. The boys are going to have a blast. And so this is volume one, the checkup. It takes a man. We're inviting men from all over Dallas. Our ladies are welcome to come out as well if they want to help us, you know, get the boys registered and just kind of be there for crowd control. And then a sneaky thing we're doing, Chris, is when the boys go into the afternoon session, when we come inside, in an afternoon session, we're going to have a parent group as well. Again, providing our parents with some extra tips and some extra resources they can have access to help in the rearing of our young people. And so, man, we're so happy to pull this off. All of this will be happening on my church grounds, Truly Missionary Baptist Church, 3907 Robert L. Parrish Senior Avenue in sunny South Dallas. And the street is named after my grandfather, and I hope he will be happy with the efforts in which we're doing, you know, to keep not only his legacy going, but the legacy of our people in that part of the city.
That's fantastic. And what's the age range of the kids you're trying to reach out to?
Initially I was saying 12 to 18, but if you got an 8 and 9 year old that you just want them in a mix, we will not put them in harm's way, meaning that we won't put them on a jack.
I see you.
Or anything like that.
In other words, they might be somebody's little brother, and he want to tag along too.
Correct. But I don't ever want to restrict anybody from bringing a young man out. If you think this is information that they can get and that they can retain, then we definitely want them to come.
I'm glad you brought up the mental health awareness part of this equation, because in all seriousness, 2 months ago in May, you know, it was a mental health awareness month, and we were talking about suicide rates and especially amongst teens, and a lot of people were not aware. They had an inkling of it, but this is news and something that's important, because sometimes all you have to do is speak up or allow these kids to have an opportunity to tell what's on their mind and not keep it all inside. And that's what's causing a lot of this, that they haven't had anyone they can talk to.
And Chris, I'll be real honest with you, and I know this might be shocking to some, but not for those of us who are really addressing this problem. As men, we have been derelict in our responsibility. Maybe not with our immediate family, but in just being the man of the community, because mm-hmm. so many of our young men and young women don't have us in their lives. And so I just believe when men stand up and do what we're supposed to do, We provide a steady force. That's why the name of organization is called A Steady Hand. We just provide a steady hand to every situation if we just stand up and do what we're supposed to do, including letting the young men know that even as men, professional men who are successful, we still have bad days. We still have days where we're down. And this is what we do when we don't turn to a vice. We don't turn to a bad habit. There's other things that we can do to make sure that we get the help that we need to help make sure that we are the type of men that we need to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember when Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, retired, he gave a speech. Yeah. And, you know, he's a man of very few words. He rarely ever speaks. And he's very well respected, not only in the NFL, but, you know, all over, especially the West Coast. I remember he was talking about you got to take care of your health. You got to take care of your chicken. Right. And he's talking about your money. And he said you got to take care of your mentals. And when he said that, that struck a nerve to a lot of people who do not realize that a lot of young guys feel a lot of pressure because they're trying to fit in or they're trying to find their way in life. They're trying to, you know, earn a living. They're trying to do things or at least live up to a standard that may or may not be real amongst their friends. And there's also social media pressure, too. There's a lot of people who have no idea the pressures nowadays because of social media and the bullying that may go on social media, or even the fact that people are counting likes or how many engagements you have, what the pictures look like on IG and who you're hanging out with now. And again, being targets of bullying when you have no idea what it's all about. I'm talking about people who are a little bit older and not knowing what it's like nowadays out there.
And Chris, a lot of people don't realize a lot of our teens and even our preteens, even elementary kids, are suffering from PTSD.
Yes.
And they're like, what do you mean? I thought this was just a war thing.
Or, right.
No, it's trying to deal with any kind of life trauma, because oftentimes what happens is trauma could be the death of a parent or incarceration or whatever. It produces this trauma. And unless that child has a place to go to deal with that trauma, they internalize it.
They internalize it,
man. And it comes out in all these negative behaviors. And so what I try to do with everything I do is wrap some education around a fun environment and a fun, safe place so that we can help get our, in this instance, this is our young men. We've already been challenged to do something for our young ladies. And so we're working on that. But in this instance, for our young boys, this is volume one. There will be volume two, volume three, volume four, et cetera. But in this instance, I thought it was very important to not only give them a physical tool and a physical trade and maybe spark an interest, but also to use this as a way to let them know mentally, we are here for you. Even when you think no one else is, here's a group of people. And if you need advanced resources, and we will have those available. If someone is coming with a medical or a psychological condition that requires help beyond just a layman's, we will have that available as well. And so, again, I'm very excited about what this could lead to and the type of change this could lead to inside of our families all across Dallas.
Reverend Donald Parrish, It Takes a Man seminar. He, of course, is the executive director of A Steady Hand. And the seminar, again, I want to repeat this, and we're going to do it again before the end of the show. When is this seminar? Because a lot of people are probably interested and want to save that on their calendar.
July 13th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., completely free. Breakfast, lunch, come on out. If you want to donate, great. If you want to give, great. You can find us, Be A Steady Hand on IG, A Steady Hand on Facebook. There's plenty of ways for you to donate. If you want to donate time, if you want to donate money to help offset the cost, that's great. This is not a fundraiser activity for us. This is an activity of us doing the work. And so we, again, it's 8 to 4, July 13th. On the grounds of Truly Missionary Baptist Church, 3907 Robert L. Parrish, Senior Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75210.
Don, I got to give you guys credit because you guys have been doing things for years and impacting lives. And I remember you were actually taking buses of kids to different college campuses so that they can feel what it's like to be in higher learning or feel what it's like to be a college student. And a lot of kids actually got the opportunity to choose those schools and get their education. Can you talk about some of those things that you used to do and if you're doing any more in the upcoming future?
Yes, sir. Chris, I have probably my most proud moments have been on our college tours. We took our first college tour in 2000. So we have been doing college tours now since 2000. And we still do them.
Time flies.
We even made the mistake one time of going up to Norman, some little raggedy school.
No,
up
you
there.
Didn't.
Yeah, I know.
Boom,
you know.
I understand.
Hook 'em horns, baby. Hook 'em, hook 'em.
But and both of us going to the SEC.
That's right. So we definitely don't just do the major schools. We do any school that a young person tells me that they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I will put it on my calendar and we'll try to go see it. So we've gone anywhere from HBCUs to PWIs, trade schools, military, whatever a young person wants to see. I believe it's my job to expose that to that young person so that they then can make the best choice for their life.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times our young people are having to make choices without being properly educated. Again, if a young person in Dallas wants to be a marine biologist, how will they know? You can't learn that by going to the Trinity River. Right. They got to be exposed. They got to be exposed to what it is. And too many times our young people are wasting away because they're just simply not exposed. And so if you look at our logo, one of our key pillars is exposure, because we believe in exposing young people to as many opportunities as we can put in front of them. They are truly dry sponges. And it's our job to provide the data so they can soak it up and plot the best course for their lives.
And like I said, they also, you wind up changing lives, because they also wind up going to a lot of the different colleges and getting the education and becoming someone that can support themselves and or their families, and they make differences in their communities.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many not only have graduated college, but have gone on to get advanced degrees, who first stepped foot on college campus as a result of one of our tours. And so, again, I'm very proud of that, very happy. We continue to do that, and we recently started work in Los Angeles. By the way, matter of fact, I think last time I was on your show, I was actually in L.A.
Yes, you were.
We took 45 kids from the Watts neighborhood to tour USC. And so
fantastic.
So we now have a steady hand in Dallas and a steady hand in Los Angeles. I'm praying that we're not expanding to any more cities right now. Your boy got my hands are full with these two. But it's great work. It's fun work. It's hard work. But with people like you, friends like you, and friends who want to get involved in what we're doing, I just please find us on social media. Find us on our website is Be A Steady Hand. The name of our organization is A Steady Hand. I am the founder, Donald Parrish. Find me on social media, reach out, and let's have a cup of coffee and talk about how we can make lives better for young people in Dallas and in Los Angeles.
Also, we cannot go any further without talking about some of the latest things you're doing, because I give you credit for getting to kids where they are. And right now, the space that they are in is esports. They're all gamers.
Sir.
I mean, it used to be back in the day, a lot of kids growing up, you know, they're out playing basketball, they're outside playing games or whatever, or they're doing something that's just not necessarily just gaming. This is where they are now. I'm bringing this up because, in particular, professional athletes, it's like, okay, you think these professional athletes, and they're downtown, they're hanging out there, whatever they do on their own.
No, they're gaming.
And so I give you credit for reaching out to kids through gaming. Can you talk about the esports aspect of A Steady Hand? I thought that was brilliant.
Yes, sir. Well, and so, Chris, we just finished our second summer of, I call it edutainment. We have taken gaming and we've made it educational. And so we've done some things with this past summer. I just finished at the Upward Bound program in conjunction with UNT Dallas. To expose our young people to some business principles around gaming. Mm-hmm. And so the young people were in a very competitive environment where they were team owners, general managers, the players who actually play in the game. It even had a PR staff, Chris. I'll show you some examples of some of their work. And they got a chance to learn what it's like to be in those particular roles. And these young people produced some amazing content. And they had to manage each other. They had to learn how to build with each other. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. It was a truly wonderful experience. And I'm so glad that we just completed our second summer. And we are chasing a meeting with some of the major video game developers. Now that we got the concept, we got to practice, we got the curriculum, we got it all tied in. So if somebody's listening that has a connection with one of these major video game companies, and they want to get involved in the educational space, we are definitely ready to have a conversation.
This is also amazing, because literally there are colleges, including SMU, TCU, I think UNT and UTA, offering scholarships in gaming. And one
Absolutely.
Of the biggest
Absolutely.
Gaming hubs in the world is actually in Arlington, by over there by Texas Live and Globe Life Field and Choctaw. It's right there. They turned the Arlington Convention Center into one of the largest gaming hubs in the world. It's absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
Again, people who are younger than us, younger than the age of 30, they know these things. They know all about this, and they're on top of it. So there are opportunities to not only get an education and to develop some skills there, but you have an opportunity to become a business person. And as you mentioned, the how'd you call it? Edutainment?
Edutainment. Yes, sir.
You reach people where they are and then allow them to grow it and become successful. And therefore, if they're successful, guess what? They bring others up with them. Am I wrong?
Yes, sir. No, and that's the whole concept. And Chris, we didn't even talk about the team sports, and we're in season 5 of bowling, and we're getting into team sports. We're getting into flag football. We're even getting into lacrosse.
Okay.
And so, we're doing whatever it takes to reach a kid. I believe in removing excuses, right? So if I've got a kid, well, I don't like this. Well, I don't like that. Well, I will keep going until I find something that you like, and then I will flip that thing, make it educational. And a way that will benefit you for the rest of your life, because that's what we have to do. And our society we have become so isolated where we've lost the ability to really connect with people. And so we're trying to fight against the grain and connect with them exactly where they are, speak their language, and set them up to have a great future if they choose to put in the work.
Let's go back to where you first started with a steady hand and made a national impact.
Yes, sir.
You've got to tell that story again, because I think this shows your dedication and how this thing has grown. But more importantly, how you made a national impact almost immediately with a simple idea that no one ever thought of.
Yeah. So we were fortunate to lead the Breakfast with Dads initiative that went viral back in 2018. And I tell people it's a funny card trick. Just put in 600 men and a picture of me will pop up on Google. I hadn't checked it in about a couple of months, but
600 like men, and there you go. Yep.
Yeah, 600 men, and that's either an article about me or like an interview with me will pop up. But we had 600 men show up at Dade Middle School here in South Dallas to be standing fathers for the Breakfast with Dads event. And that put us on a national platform. We got a chance to be interviewed, you know, by the likes, you know, people like yourself who are not in nearly as many Hall of Fames as you are, by the way. But they had these national platforms. And so we got a chance to go across the country. And, man, that thing went worldwide. I was interviewed by a French publication, some publications in Africa, Brazil. Like it was crazy. But the thing about it is it was also very humbling, and very scary that this was needed so many places. And so I had to take a step back, get organized, and that made me form a steady hand. Before then, I was just Reverend Donald Parrish Jr., just trying to make a difference on my own. I did not want to start a separate organization and didn't want to do all of that. Well, that forced me to kind of get organized and kind of organize the work, and I'm glad I did it. The pandemic hit, and that's what gave birth to the gaming, because I needed a way to stay in contact with our young people. We were all on our consoles, all on the computers. I'm a pastor, so you have to let me say this. The Holy Spirit just whispered to me, man, teach them something in this game. There's some things in this game that you guys are spending hours playing that can help them. And man, so Chris, I got a curriculum for Madden, but man, I got 5 or 6 other games too, man. Like I could do a whole edutainment academy and teach business and life skills with games that are currently on the market. And so I'm really excited. I think we're on to something. Matter of fact, now I think I know it. I know we're on to something. We've been beta testing now for a couple of years, and now we're ready to get to the marketplace. I'm really excited what that could mean for the lives of kids all across the country and how we can grow and make an impact. So yeah, that's how we got started. But I tell anybody, and Chris, if you let me say it this way, a lot of people ask McDonald, how can I do what you do? I love to do, you know, what you do. And I say, well, number one, if you have a passion for it, you would already be doing it. You wouldn't be waiting for permission to do it. So just get started. Whatever your passion is,
right?
Just get started.
Don't ever just talk about it. Just do it.
Well, Chris, I was doing this work for 18 years before it hit the press. And that's why I explained to people, like the Breakfast with Dads was not starting something. If anything, it helped me continue it. But I was 18 years, I was coming out of my pocket and out of friends and family and, you know, renting charter buses and taking kids on college tours myself. And I'm not breaking my arm to pat myself on the back. I'm just trying to explain to people the difficulty. Success does not happen overnight.
Yeah, twists
and then you
can't
maintain it. Yeah, and we have done all of this without a big time sponsor, without a big time donor. Mm-hmm. We've done all of this work hand to mouth just because it just needed to be done. And so there's some, we're trying to attract some friends now. And so hopefully they'll come alongside of us. But this work is so important. Even if they choose not to, it's still going to get done.
You know, I love what you're doing because it's not only organic, it's very authentic. And just like the idea of Breakfast with Dad, you kind of glossed over it. But I want you to go ahead and explain to people how you came up with this idea and why it struck a nerve and why so many people even showed up, let alone, you know, the worldwide attention it made.
Well, I think what people fail to realize is life is about the small interaction and the things that sometimes that we gloss over. And can you imagine a kid and there's an event for dads to come to school and they don't have anybody to be there for them? Can you imagine the imprint that that puts on that child's DNA? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we had a number of boys who we knew that dads couldn't make it, we put the call out. Hey, you know, we need a couple of guys show up. I think I asked for 25. 1,000 attempted to register. I got 600. All they had to get through background checks in enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just shows the importance of what male interaction in the lives of our kids, our boys and girls, wholesome male interaction, not the unhealthy stuff.
Sure.
But the wholesome interaction and just taking a little moment out of your day to sit down and share a meal with a kid, how that can change the trajectory. My father is still alive. My father has won two Father of the Year awards. He is a great man. And it still took him and 10 other men to help keep me on track.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a kid who doesn't even have the baseline of an active father in their lives. And so I believe most of society's ills and problems can be traced back to that. Men, of no matter what your political preference is, no matter what your religious preference is, none of these things that we use to divide us, if we just go back and just be men and do what we're supposed to do
and care,
a lot of these ills, a lot of these ills in our society will clean themselves up if we just stand up. And that's why we're doing this conference. It takes a man. And no offense to single moms, no offense to mothers who are doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, major props.
No offense
major
to any
props.
Of that.
Yeah.
No offense to any of that. My hypothesis now in 24 years of doing this work is it takes a man to do some of this stuff that we need to fix in our society. Men, we broke it, so it's incumbent upon us to fix it.
I love the way you put that. And again, for all the right reasons, you just need somebody to step up. And sometimes, like you said, it's just a matter of showing kids, guys, little boys, and teenagers that somebody cares. That somebody actually cares about them, the person, and is willing to help them navigate. Help them navigate certain situations in life. And some of that culture. That's why Big Brothers Big Sisters is a big program. I go down the list of all these different organizations where someone is missing in a kid's life, especially a young boy, because, you know, unfortunately, young boys have sometimes unreal expectations they have to deal with. Little girls, too, but little boys in particular, and teenage boys in particular, because they're supposed to be a man, but they don't know how to be a man because there's not somebody there to show them what it takes to become a man. Even if you're a vulnerable man, it shows you that you're a human being. And there are some guys that used to be a man, you got to be tough. No, there's more to it than that.
Correct. That's right. And toughness looks different. Toughness is being willing to go to work every day on a job that you hate.
Yeah,
but that's
exactly.
Still mental toughness.
That's right.
That's still toughness.
That's
because
toughness.
You got
that's
people
discipline
upon you.
Yep.
That's toughness. Toughness is not cussing at your boss because he or she said something to you that they shouldn't. Right.
Right.
That's not tough. That's weakness.
Right.
Because you're not acting like a man. You're acting like a petulant child. What toughness is gritting your teeth. You know, going through the process. If you got to file a complaint, that's fine. But you still show up on time to work and you do the best job you can do because your wife and kids are dependent upon you. That's toughness. That's what being a man should be about. So I'm not trying to preach at you, Chris. I'm sorry. But man, you got me fired up.
Well, this is worth talking about. And again, I think a lot of people are going to be motivated to be more involved. How can people be more involved with A Steady Hand? They're going to be there at the seminar,
yes,
but
sir.
How could they be more involved with A Steady Hand? And again, I laud you for extending it on to Los Angeles and helping out the kids out in L.A. as well.
Absolutely. So the quickest way is go to our website, www.beasteadyhand.org, or find us on social media. A Steady Hand on Facebook is probably where we're most active. Send us a message, either me or my admin team. We'll respond as quickly as possible. We do mentoring during the school year on campus. We ask mentors to come on campus twice a month and have lunch with their mentee. Mm-hmm. Boys and girls from kindergarten all the way up through college, believe it or not. But there's all these other things that in these other spaces that we're getting involved in that maybe you have some expertise. Maybe you want to come and help us build infrastructure. Maybe you have, Chris, we are hopefully about to purchase an RV so we can do some more creative things, with the rolling office. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm open to anything that's going to make a difference in the lives of kids. We're not income restricted, zip code restricted, or race, religion restricted. We're non-religious. We just believe in showing up and being there for young people. So, beasteadyhand.org, Be a Steady Hand on Instagram, and A Steady Hand on Facebook. And if you just Google A Steady Hand, all of those things should come up, and just reach out to us, and we'll do our best to reach back out to you.
Yes, sir. He is the Reverend Donald Parrish. Again, Don, thanks for joining us, and thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.